Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy, if you would, and we're going to dive in. We began a new series last week entitled Greatness Within, and the truth about it is that this whole series titled Greatness Within became a little bit more real to me here in the last couple weeks, just in a very simple, non-spiritual way at all. As you know, Robin and I celebrated 25 years on the 18th of April. It's hard to believe that we have been married that long, and it's been good. A couple weeks ago, we went out, and I think we were going out to dinner. I can't remember all the as I stand here, I can't remember all the details, but anyway, we were going out to dinner, and we had some time, so we thought we'd go to the mall, and we were just meandering around the mall, and I don't know how it is, but you know, there was this draw, I think it was a magnetic draw to this jewelry store, and Robin was leading the way, and so we walked into this jewelry store, and we were just standing there at the counters looking at all this jewelry, and oh, that's pretty. And I was like, man, I don't think that's supposed to happen. But anyway, that's a real pretty ring right there. And the salesman was like, oh, yes, that's a beautiful ring. And they're like spicing it up, and they pull it out, and we're looking at it. And I was like, they were like, that is a majestic cut ring. And I was like, oh, that's money. And so I look at it, and it wasn't like this huge rock or anything like that, but it was just, I mean, it just like glistened in a way that I was like, man, that kind of hurts your eyes, and I'm sure it would hurt my wallet too. And I said, how much is it? And it was $4,800. She doesn't have it on her finger this morning, so don't. But someday she may. Anyway, we were talking to this salesperson about it, they talked about the cut and how, because it wasn't a big rock, but how they cut it. It's a majestic cut, so it's so intricate that it causes this ring just to sparkle in a way. And you know, they're like, hey, cover it up and look at it so our lights aren't hitting it. And then they're like, put it on your finger and go out in the mall away from our lights. And I was like, Robin, this is your opportunity. And so we went out in the mall, just outside the door, you know, and I'm looking around for the security cops because, you know, those mall cops are bad people. And so anyway, we're looking at it, and it was just like glistening. It was incredible, and it was all because of the cut that made this diamond majestic, that there was greatness within the cut. There was greatness within the stone, but the cut just enhanced it. And I thought, you know what, that is so true of you and I, that there's greatness within you. And this series, Greatness Within, has its origin in 2 Timothy, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. And Paul, if you're like, well, who's the Apostle Paul? Paul wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament letters that we have. And Timothy was, Timothy didn't really, his biological father was absent from the scene. We don't know when he departed from his life, but it's clear that he wasn't very influential in his life and appeared to be absent from his life, and the Apostle Paul became his spiritual father. He became his mentor, and as Paul's life is nearing its end, he is in prison. He is awaiting execution because of the proclamation of the faith that he proclaimed and the gospel message that pulsated from him, and just like any good father, he wants to build up his son. He wants to make sure that his son is, that the greatness within him comes out of him, and so he's speaking into his life. He's pulling truths out of his life, because he wants him to be successful, if you will, if I can use that term. He wants to have a faith that is full of vitality. And so last week we talked about the need of you and I to drop the mask. And Paul is writing to this young man in the faith, and he cares about him deeply, and he thinks about him often, Scripture tells us. And we read in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "As I have been reminded of your sincere faith." That word sincere is the word in the Greek. It's made up of two words, anu hikaprito, and it means literally unhypocritical or a genuine faith. And so last week, not to re-preach last week's message at all, but we talked last week about the need of you and I to drop the masks in our life and to be sincere in our faith. And so we talked about the mask that sometimes people wear, and it's the mask of the performer. And that we do things, and it's all about the performance. And then we talked as well about the mask of the perfecter. And that you know, everything has to be perfect all the time. And we put on this mask and we portray this image that, man, we have it all together. And Paul says to Timothy, man, I want you to be sincere in your faith. And then we talked about this one. And I like this one the best just because I like the mask. But the mask of the pleaser. That if we can get sucked into this thing about living life just to please, and it's all about please, and we can, in our faith, it's, you know, I gotta please God, I gotta please, and then we talked about the faith of the pretender, and that God calls us to be sincere in our faith and not to have a faith that is pretending to be something that we're not. And look at what Paul says next as he wraps up, or he talks about this, you know, have a faith, Timothy, that's sincere. And he's commending faith, Timothy, for his sincere faith. He says this in verse 6, "For this reason." What reason is that, Paul? "Because of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that is alive and well within you. Because of that reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." That term, fan into flame, it would have been a common vernacular of the day. It would have been a common expression of the day as outside the dwelling places where the people of the biblical times lived would be a fire pit, if you will, an oven, if you will, outside of their home that would be used for the baking of the bread, for the preparations of their meal. Man, aren't you glad that you just have an oven? Right? And they would have these outside of their homes. And the idea was to keep the smoldering embers warm enough all the time, 24/7, that if when it came time to add the wood, when it came time to add the fuel to the fire, that it would ignite and that it would burn. And so it was important that they would have a fan, and that they would, and the idea is that you will never get a flame necessary to cook the meal if you allow the embers to die off and to go cold. And so Paul says to Timothy, "Listen, Timothy, I want you to fan in that flame, that gift of God that resides within you, because there is a fire, there are embers within your spirit, there is something that the Spirit of God has deposited within you, and you need to fan that, you need to keep those embers alive so that when fuel is added, it's ready. But somebody has to pick up the fan. So that the fire can do what it's supposed to do. You have to fan it. And Paul is grateful for Timothy and his sincere faith that is alive, but he wants that faith to be an impacting faith, one that is burning bright and influencing others. So here's a key thought for the day as we dive into this, that there is greatness within you because the Spirit is within you. If you're a follower of Jesus, there is greatness within you. Because the Spirit of Almighty God is within you. But God doesn't stop there. He's also deposited within you a gift of God, if you will. He's deposited within you a spiritual gift. There's greatness within you. So this morning, let's just talk about two things really quick, because I know some of your stomachs are really growling already. I can hear them. But let's talk about two things real quick. Number one is fan into flame, and then the second The second thought is this: feel the burn. All right, so let's talk about fan into flame. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: the special gift of ministry you received when I laid my hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze, Timothy. Some translations say kindle afresh. Paul wanted to remind Timothy to do something he already knew. To kindle afresh literally means this: to keep the fire alive. To fan the embers into flame and not to let them die. And so here's the deal. It carries the same idea. Now, track with me for a second, all right? It carries the same idea of consistency as does the Apostle Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, when Paul said this: I die daily. We need to continually bury self-will in order to continually allow Christ's Holy Spirit to work His will through our lives. Jesus put it this way: pick up your cross and follow me. Paul said, I die daily. Excuse me. A believer needs to wake up each day and to bury self. Every believer also needs to wake up each day to continually kindle afresh the gift of God, or to fan into flame, keep ablaze, if you will, all that you've received. And so, in a real practical sense, there's two elements, there's two items that you and I need. Man, we need a shovel to bury ourselves and to bury our flesh, because how many know you have come into contact this week with the flesh that resides within you? Have you experienced your flesh this week? Man, I did yesterday, coming back from Dallas. You know, we had to get back because we were helping with the after prom last night. And so we left Dallas, the south side of Dallas, at 12:30. We're saying, hey, we'll get home about 6:30, 7 o'clock. We'll have some time just to hang out before we're up late. And man, going through Dallas, I hit something laying out in the middle of the road. And I was like, oh, stink. A road gator, right? So a chunk of rubber. I was hoping that's all it was. A little bit later, my tire pressure light comes on. I'm like, oh, double stink. And so, because now this is like two times in three visits to Dallas that I've had a flat tire along the interstate. And so we pull over, we find a Sam's, and they come out, and they're like, hey, you have two like big gashes. It looks like Freddy Krueger got a hold of your tire, and we can't fix it. And so then I'm like, triple stink. Tires all, just put a whole new set of tires on, you know? And so it was like, oh, no. There's two things you and I need to carry. One is a shovel to bury ourselves and to bury our flesh. The second is a fan to ignite that which is within you. Understand, Paul, you read that, and it could be very easy for you and I to think, well, man, something's wrong with Timothy. Timothy's like, what, is he backsliding? Is he you know, growing passive in his relationship with God? It's not that at all. Has he let his flame go out? No, it's not that at all. Rather, it's an appeal for a continuous, vigorous use of his spiritual gift. How are you doing with that in your life? He's encouraging his associate to keep the fire burning brightly so that it might generate spiritual power in his life. Timothy, living in a challenging and spiritually dark climate of Ephesus, where fear is present, where heresy is running rapid, where immorality is very a part of the culture of his day, where challenges towards his leadership is apparent because he's young and he's inexperienced, and there's those challenging challenges coming his way. It's a dangerous climate. And how many know dangerous climates call for spiritual power? And so there's this thing going on. It reminds me, as we live in dangerous climates, and dangerous climates call for you and I to have a dangerous faith, it reminds me of the story that I came across of a man who wanted to change his name. And so he thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to leave my first name, and I'm going to leave my last name alone. But he wanted to change his middle name. He wanted to change his middle name to Danger. because he'd felt that he'd always lived compliant and kind of middle of the road, playing it safe all along his journey of life. And so he wanted to do something to stake out a new identity. It requires a lot of legal work, how many know, to change your name? I mean, our daughter-in-law couldn't even change her name on Facebook for some time because, you know, the process of it. But now I think she's Facebook official reigns now, so look out. But he would have to go to court multiple times to get his name changed. And on the day of his final court appearance, he is there. He's the last name on the docket, the last case on the docket, and one of the cases before him involved two individuals that were in a lawsuit, and it got really escalated within that courtroom, and so the bailiff had to drag the guys out of the court, and they're out in the parking lot. Finally, it's his turn to get his name changed. And everything went through just as he had hoped for. The judge signed off on it, and he's walking out the door. And as he's walking out the door, the bailiff grabs him, stops him, and says, "Listen, man, I need to warn you, be careful out there. Those two gentlemen that were fighting earlier before your case, they're out in the parking lot, and it's escalated, and they're getting after it. It's dangerous out there." And the man that changed his name had this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, right? Just think about this. And he looks at the bailiff, and he shows the bailiff his paperwork, and he says, "It's okay." He said, "Danger is my middle name." And he walks out into that dangerous environment, right? Some of you guys will get it later, but that's all right. The Spirit of God wants to make you dangerous. To be a dangerous person. The Spirit wants to make you threatening to all the forces of injustice and all the forces of apathy and all the forces of complacency, all the forces of hell that would keep our world from flourishing. The Spirit wants to make you dangerously non-compliant to a broken world. And the Spirit makes us dangerous by giving each of those that are His, those that call on the name of Jesus, that know Jesus as his Lord, spiritual gifts, just like Timothy received. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Why? To be my witnesses, to be used of me. But you're like, "Steve, you know, you're talking about the Apostle Paul. You're talking about Timothy. You're talking about two individuals that were instrumental in the early church, two guys that God used mightily, and I am not them. I mean, I live in Valley Center, Kansas." But if you're a follower of Jesus, there is greatness within you. It's not you looking at your neighbor and saying, "Man, you look great today." It's you looking at that individual on your left and your right, front of you, behind you, and realizing there is greatness within them. But understand this, God doesn't stop there. He has deposited within you a gift of God. Look at it. Let me just give you several scriptures real quick. We'll go through these really quick. I won't expound on them. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this: "All these are the work," speaking of spiritual gifts, "all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to" what? To each one. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the one. Just as he determined, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have." There are four biblical references of spiritual gifts, and every Christian has a gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 and 8 says this: "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. And to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person, he's giving the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. You have a gift. There is greatness within you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this, now these are the gifts of Christ, Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Why? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. How does that happen? Because you have a gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, in case you're not convinced yet. God has given each of you a gift for his great variety of spiritual gifts. From his great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Who is this thing about? Is it about you? Is it about me? Absolutely not. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about allowing the greatness within you that God has deposited in you to flow out to others. On your seat this morning is this little card. On the back side of it, if you're like, man, Steve, I don't know what my gifts are. You know, I just struggle to get up every morning. You know, and you're like, I would be interested to know what my spiritual gifts are. Well, this is a great tool that you could use to just kind of begin the conversation within you, begin you seeking and asking the Lord, Lord, what is the gift that is deposited within me? And this will just a simple tool. It's not gospel. It may not be, 100% accurate, but it will get some ideas going. I know today in our starting point class, we talked about spiritual gifts and how God has given you spiritual gifts, and he's given you a heart, and he's given you abilities and a personality and experiences. And it's interesting as you look at those five things, how intertwined they are. And those spiritual gifts often will come about as you look at your life and your life experiences and your personalities. You will see it all woven together as a tapestry of his grace and his proclamation that there is greatness within you. What is the reason to fan the flame? Why are you responsible? Why am I responsible to use that which God has deposited within us? Simply to connect to God and to build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and I'm going to use the Holy Spirit to do it, the Holy Spirit that resides within those that call upon the name of the Lord. God has gifted you. If God has gifted you, this means God believes in you. True? Does that make sense? That is God, if God gifts you, whether you're a young person or no matter where you are in life, if God has gifted you, if God has deposited his Spirit within you, which he has, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has placed his Spirit within you. Think about that. If he has done that, that means God believes in you. I don't know how you could come to any other conclusion. He sees you as a worthy investment. He has expectation that that investment will produce something in your life. You think about Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the talents, and the master gives each of the three individuals some money, one five talent, one two, and one one, and he makes that deposit within them, and then he leaves, and he comes back, and he says, what'd you do with what I gave you? And one guy says, look, master, you gave me five, I got five more. The other guy says, you gave me two, I got two more. One says, you gave me one, and I buried it, and I hid it, and I didn't do anything with it. God has given you talents because he looks at you as a worthy investment. And it's not a comparison thing. It's a what are you going to do thing. Will you be faithful? We have to, we've heard this before, but the will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't keep you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we looked at that verse just a few minutes ago, tells us that in his grace, he has given you gifts. The grace of God will help you navigate through the use of you using the gift that he has given you. And we must regularly exercise the gift we have received from God, lest it enter into begin to waste away from neglect and disuse. You know, because sometimes people go, you know what, I've used this gift for a long time now, and I feel like I'm kind of at a place in life, or, you know, I'm kind of approaching retirement, whatever that means, and I'm just going to put it up on the shelf. I'm not going to use this anymore. And God says, no way. That's my gift that I've deposited. I didn't take it away from you. You need to use that thing. So what's the result of fanning the flame? It's this, simply, to feel the burn. Look at verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, meaning to be shamefully afraid or to be a coward, but a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. What happens when you stand close to a flame? Right? What happens when you walk? When you get close to the fire, man, you know, when I do that, when I light my grill sometimes and that propane builds up a little bit and then it ignites and then all my hand, you know, the hair on my hands gets all singed and it smells really good, you know? And you get close, you get burned, something happens within you. And what happens when you stand close to the flame of the Spirit of God? What happens when you walk in the charisma, the gifts of the Spirit, and you feel the presence of God, don't you? You feel the burn, if I can use that term. Look at Paul says this. Look, you walk in the Spirit and the gifts that I've given you, not by not in a spirit of timidity. Timothy, if you know anything about him, many scholars say he was probably, you know, he was kind of a timid guy. Didn't have a whole lot of confidence. And Paul says, listen, I want you to walk in the gifts that the Spirit has placed within you. And if you walk in that, you're not going to walk in timidity. You're going to walk in power, love, and a sound mind. What is the idea of power? The idea of power in the Greek, you look at it in the Greek, it's this word dunamis. Now, they didn't have any idea of dynamite back in their day, obviously. But it denotes a great force or a great energy and is a term from which we get our word dynamite. It also carries the connotation of effective, productive energy. That God has placed a spirit, a gift within you, that his intention of that gift is for it to be productive and powerful in your life and through your life. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And so that when we position ourselves to allow the flame of God, the Spirit of God to be ignited in our life and to be at full force, if you will, that we're positioning ourselves for the power of God to flow through our life. I was just thinking about this early this morning, how that works and how that manifests itself in our life, how the power of God manifests itself in our life. And just stories of people that I know and family members that we have that have seen this played out in their life. The power of God manifesting in their life. The second thing Paul says to Timothy is this, that you would love. The love that we have for God is that our love that we are to have for God, is to be this idea of an agape love. This unconditional, no matter what, it's volition, a selfless love that desires and works for the best interest of the one loved. What does that love do? Well, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For Christ's love compels us." How is that possible, that his love would compel you? I was saying, our son, as you know, graduated this past weekend from university, and they're living in Arkansas right now. And he was just sharing at one of the ceremonies that he was a part of on Thursday night of this idea of obedience versus position. And what's that? I'm sorry. Thank you. Obedience before position. That we have to be obedient before the position. And he was just sharing this story because as the end of the 2016 came to a close for them, he was getting married, and then they're like, "Man, I don't know where we're going to live, and we don't know what we're going to do for jobs," and just some things, kind of some roadblocks came up in their life, and they're like, "We don't know what's going to happen." And then a door opened. God opened a door at the last minute, because how many know God's in control? Amen? And so a door opened for them, and they ended up going to Arkansas. And they're working at a church there, and he just talked about this idea of obedience and walking in obedience. And as we walk in obedience, we see the gifts of God, and we see the pattern and that which God deposited within our lives working itself out. And he shared a story about a young girl named Hannah. And Hannah is a young lady in their youth group, and Hannah was a cutter. And she was cutting herself because she hated life and her upbringing. It was just a mess. Her mom was doing and dealing drugs right in front of her. And she just had this train wreck of an upbringing. And Austin and Taylor had the privilege of beginning to minister to her. And the story unfolds here recently. Hannah sat down with them. As the Spirit, as Austin was like, I just want to be obedient to what God has called me to do and use the gifts that God has placed within me. And they got to know Hannah, and then Hannah's story unfolded before them, and they began this relationship and investing in her. And Hannah made the comment to them just here recently, "You know what, Austin, if you wouldn't have come, there's a very real chance that I wouldn't be alive today. Because I was this close to ending it." And I don't tell that story to brag on my son one bit. I just use that as an illustration of what using that love and using the gifts of God that reside within us, because it's ministering to people around us. It's building the body of Christ. And when we walk in the spirit that is within us, we are more familiar with the voice and the promptings of the Lord, and that we fan into flame the gift of God that's residing within us, and all of a sudden we sense his presence even more, and then you walk in a greater confidence. It's this cycle that continually repeats itself. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Spirit whom he has given us. It's like, "Man, I don't know if I can love." No, you can love because of the Spirit that is within you. What happens when we are full of the Spirit, when we fan into flame all that God has for us? Paul says this: be self-disciplined, or you will be of a sound mind is really a better translation. It describes a person who is sensibly minded and balanced, who has his life under control. The Amplified Version of Scripture reads it this way: a calm and well-balanced mind and a disciplined and self-controlled. How many know it's important to keep our minds in check? It's important to keep our emotions in check. It's important to be controlled by the Spirit. A disciplined life is a divinely ordered life in which godly wisdom is applied to every situation. It's this idea of, okay, Steve, how do you do that? How do you have a self-controlled mind? How do we walk this thing out? The best thing, one of the simplest things that you and I can do is simply ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? As I have this decision before me, as I have this opportunity before me, as I am walking this thing out because of my past and how I used to live and decisions I'm is what's the wise thing for me to do? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid about life and the worries of life or if you can trust him or not. He doesn't want you, but he does want you to be filled with his spirit. He doesn't want the embers of his deposit within you to just be smoldering. He wants them to be burning bright. Bright like the Flint Hills of Kansas, getting the grass burned off as you drive across. Man, it just glows. Why? Not only will the gifts be used to build the body and display the kingdom of God, but you and I will know his power. You and I will be a channel of his surpassing love and experience a calm and balanced mind. That is why it is so important that you and I fan into flame, that you and I use the gifts of God that reside within us, that you and I feel the burn. And as we come to a close this morning, I just want us to not get in a hurry in leaving this place this morning. Michael, if you would come, and I want to ask you a simple question. Do you know your gift? Do you know the gift that God has deposited within you? And a lot of times I think when we talk about that, when churches start talking about that, they're like, oh, man, I don't like kids. Don't ask me to work in the kids ministry because, you know, I don't do kids. And we go in an area that we're like, man, I'm not talking about a specific area of ministry. I'm talking about what is the gift of God God has deposited within you. And how bright and how passionate is that burning within you? Because if I could be honest and if I could be transparent with you this morning, if you don't know what that is, or if it's just smoldering, then you have a responsibility to get that thing ignited again. I don't say that because I have an agenda at the back of the sanctuary this morning. There's sign-up sheets for areas of ministry for you to be involved here at Life Point Church. You will not leave this facility. We're going to feed you today until you sign up. It's not that at all. It's because there is greatness within you. Greatness. Because God has deposited his spirit within you. It's greater than anything that you'll ever experience in this life. It's better than any accomplishment that you could receive, any accolade, any applause of men. It's his kingdom. And his kingdom that wants to not just impact your life, but the person that's next to you. That person that you're going to come into contact with tomorrow at your place of work, perhaps, or at the grocery store, or at the car lot, or wherever. It's the kingdom of God. And you and I, we need to feel the burn. And so if we're here this morning, and it's been a long time since we felt the embers of the Spirit of God burning within our spirit, how many know? It's not because the coals have moved. It's because we've moved away from the coals. And we need to fan that into flame. See, what do I need to do? Well, just very simply, some things that we need to do just on a daily basis, man. We need to make sure that we're praying, we're talking to God. And I get it. There's going to be days where that's not a part of your day because of the schedule or just because the day got away from you. But get back to that ring of fire. Man, we need to pray. We need to get into this book. We need to learn to love this book. We need to, if you will, taste of it and see that the Lord is good. We need to apply it to our life and to live it. I mean, we, you know what? The reality is you and I, and I'm not saying this, I better be careful how I say this. You and I have heard this a ton. You and I have probably heard way more messages than we'll ever remember and will ever live. Does that mean we need to stop? Absolutely not. I'm not trying to put myself out of a job by saying that. Understand that. I'm just saying that it's just not checking something off of our list. It's applying it to our life so that it does become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, because it's applicable, it's tangible to our lives. So we need to pray, we need to read the Word, we need to fast. I know we did a Daniel fast at the beginning of the year. I'll warn you, we're going to do another one in August. It may not be a Daniel fast. It may be, you know, hey, let's just do 3 days, a full fast, do what you can do or whatever. But we're going to do something as a church body. But as individuals, there's times where we just need, you know what, I just need to step away from that for a time and just connect myself to the Lord. I need to fan into flame. I need to position myself. I mean, today we're doing a dinner and a dessert deal for our kids and our students so that they can go to camp. Because why? Why is camp so important? Because, man, how many know, sometimes in life you need to disconnect from your norm. And when we disconnect from our norm, all of a sudden, like, our spiritual antennas go up and we're just more in tune. And so we send our kids to camp for a week just to unplug from the gunk and from the junk of society and just from the routine norm of society and get away and go to camp and fan into flame that which God is wanting to and that which God has deposited within you. And you know what? Maybe you and I don't have a camp. I mean, the men just got back yesterday from a conference yesterday, and I know many of them are stoked from that. What's that about? It's positioning yourself so that the Spirit of God can stir you up and blow upon you. And then you use that which He's deposited in you, not for your glory, but for His kingdom. Some of us just need to have the prayer today before we leave. God, Holy Spirit, make yourself real to me. Fill me. And use me. All three of those are biblical prayers. Prayers that you'll find in Scripture. Commands that you'll find in Scripture. And if we've not prayed those in a long time, then we're not fully being what God has called us to be. Amen? Okay, I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. Would you stand with me? I'm done, but I really believe that God's not done with you. He wants to move upon you. He wants to make His Spirit known to you. He wants to, for some here, He wants to fill you. He wants to refill you, but He wants to fill you for the first time in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a call for us to draw near to Him. And so as we pray, and I just want us to take a few moments, and I don't want you to get in a hurry to rush out of here, but just to find a place of prayer, if you want to come to the altars, let's just kind of go a little bit old school this morning. Come to the altars and linger in the presence of God and ask the Lord to fill me. Ask the Lord, let your gifts become known and apparent to me. God, use me.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.